This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the Milkpacking District, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A clerk is pistol-whipped in a Portland robbery. The trial begins for the murder of a celebrity dog trainer, and Elmo is attacked at a guitar store.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, September 27th, 2010. A robbery suspect who pistol-whipped a Northeast Portland store clerk was on the loose after the Friday morning attack. Portland police said around 8:30 a.m. a silent robbery alarm at Check Cash Pacific on Northeast Sandy Boulevard was triggered just after the employees showed up for work. The woman told investigators she was opening the store when a man pointed a gun at her, then hit her on the head with it as he demanded money. The suspect forced his way into the store, then fled the area southbound on Northeast 40th. The man was described as a black man, 6 feet tall, with a muscular build, wearing a long-sleeve, button-up shirt, khaki pants, latex gloves, a knit hat, and glasses. They think he may be the same man who robbed two other check cashing businesses in Portland in May and July of this year. If you have any information, of course, you should call the Portland Police Department.
I always wondered how those places managed to stay in business, how they didn't get robbed all the time, until I actually just walked in to one at one point just to sort of suss out how the joint operated, and I saw that everybody inside is just ensconced behind this 9-foot-thick bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
For any number of reasons, I would imagine. But this guy, I mean, one has to acknowledge he found the chink in the armor. He did find the weak spot, right, in the system. It's amazing that they don't just ferry people to and from work at that place like in an armored car. Because you got to imagine, I mean, A, they got cash on hand all the time. B, I don't mean to make rash generalizations, but often those check casting places are in what you might call your sketchier areas yes, of town. And also, there's just any number of disreputable people milling around in the immediate vicinity of those joints. So it's not like, you know, one hoodlum more or less is really going to stand out. I mean, it's like United Colors of Benetton, but like only of the criminal element.
Yeah, the thing that struck me about the story is at first they said it was somebody was pistol whipped. But then they said he pointed a gun at her, then hit her on the head with it.
Well, that's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, see, I hear pistol whipping.
Or is that pistol punching?
Pistol whipping, I think, is something going whap, whap across your face like a couple of times.
Talk, see?
Hitting on the head is more of a bonk kind of a thing, isn't it?
So it's a pistol bonking.
Yeah.
Which sounds like something else altogether.
She was pistol bonked.
How many hits with a pistol? This is like how many licks does it take to get to? And the answer is 3. How many hits with a pistol does it take? When does a pistol punching become a pistol whipping? Is it at 3 or 2?
I think it's more the action than the number of hits. Like if you backhanded somebody real good with the pistol, then I believe that would count as a pistol whipping.
Even once?
Even just once.
Well, we're not entirely sure he didn't do that.
No, well, it says he pointed the gun at her, then hit her on the head. He might have just bunked her once, then pistol whipped her.
Like with the butt of the gun?
Yes.
So she was going, was she opening up the business? Was he sort of waiting outside, like at the back door or whatever?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you would probably come up from behind. Not that I'm telling thieves how to do this, but it seems like he would probably come from behind, and you'd say, hey, turn around. She turns around. You got a gun. Why would you not just hit her? Why would you even bother to show her the gun? Why just go right for the hitting part? Seems like you could skip step one.
Well, she was in the process of opening the store, so maybe it was like, hey,
maybe
keep opening the door or something.
He intended to catch her unawares, but she in fact saw
that
him ahead of time.
Well.
All right. These are the things that I sort of wonder. It's like the thing I always see in the movie where the guy, I'm not talking about the Vulcan nerve pitch, but where the guy comes up and he like karate chops you. Like on the shoulder, like between your between your head and your... It's on the carotid artery, I guess, and so the theory is that maybe you do that and it knocks you unconscious. But I wonder if that actually works.
I don't think so. People die and are knocked unconscious very, very easily on TV and in movies. And actually, I think it's generally much more difficult to do either in most cases.
You think so, but then it's like you got that the like Liam Neeson's wife who just blows the curve for everybody by tripping and then like her brain just implodes or whatever.
Well, stuff like that, I mean, that's the thing is it's unpredictable. Like I had I can't remember if it was a relative, an in-law, something like that. I can't remember what the relationship was at this time. But there was some girl, I heard the secondhand story, she died unexpectedly because she'd gone to the dentist. And she had gotten like the twilight sleep stuff, and she didn't like wait in the chair like she was supposed to for the recommended time, and so she like got up out of the, I'm going home, and got up out of the chair, and then just keeled forward, head first into the corner of a counter.
Wow.
And then died.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it sucks just because that's one of those fickle finger of fate things where you just, it's like, you know what it is? That's like the reverse of finding a Mario coin box. That's like finding a a box filled only with pain and death. All right, you're listening to Legion of News right here on a happy note. Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, it comes up on iTunes as well later on in the afternoon. You can get it on your mobile device as well, mobile.PDX.FM, or as a direct download from legionofnews.com or PDX.FM. This is Don Taylor.
Jury selection begins Monday in the trial of a man accused of killing a dog trainer who worked with the pets of Seattle's elite. Theodore Mark Stover vanished 1 year ago. His body has not been found and no clear motive has emerged. But prosecutors have charged Michael Oakes with first-degree murder in the case. Oakes is the boyfriend of Stover's ex-wife, Linda Opdyke, whose father helped start Washington's biggest winery, Chateau St. Michel. Prosecutors say the victim's blood was found in Oakes' car, and Oakes' lawyer says his client is prepared to admit killing Stover in self-defense. Stover's clients include Pearl Jam's Eddie Vedder, Soundgarden's Chris Cornell, Starbucks chairman Howard Schultz, and Mariners outfielder Ichiro Suzuki.
I'm so confused. They're his clients. This is the winery guy?
Apparently so, yeah.
Or the dog?
Well, no, the
dog guy.
I
have no idea who's the client of who in this story.
Oh, he was a dog trainer.
Okay, I see.
So he trained like Eddie Vedder's dog and Chris Cornell's dog and Howard Schultz's dog. And he was apparently killed in self-defense by the boyfriend of his ex-wife.
So the boyfriend claims.
Yeah.
After here's why that doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying he's guilty, of course. But if you kill a guy in self-defense, you don't just then, like, disappear his body. You leave his body there and you say, that bastard attacked me. And look at him now. He's dead. Who else wants some? Right? Like, if you killed a guy in self-defense... Wouldn't you, if you justifiably took someone's life because they were up in your business, and then you gave them what for, and they were dead? I'm not saying you would go out of your way to kill someone or that you would hope that would happen, but if you were forced into it, if you did kill someone, wouldn't you then just make sure that everybody on Earth knew it? I mean, making really the best lemonade you possibly could out of those death lemons. Look at this guy; he crossed me. Yeah, look at him now.
I think it would depend on who it was.
Oh, I'd tell everybody. I'd hire my own film crew, and I'd get myself in all sorts of heroic action poses with the body.
What if it was somebody that say had like said they were going to leave you millions of dollars in their will, and then for some reason they went crazy and they attacked you, and now you have to go, no, really, I killed him in self-defense.
Yeah, but the blood's all over the... And I sound like Charles Grodin again. The blood's in the Bronco and in Rockingham. I don't understand. But it's like there's blood all over the place anyway, so...
Well, maybe.
Where there's blood, there's fire.
So you know, in your imaginary self-defense killing, it's incredibly brutal and gruesome, and there's blood everywhere.
No, in this actual story, there was blood everywhere. They said they found blood all over the inside of the car.
Well, they say all over.
What's he going to say?
In the car.
I cut myself. Well, yeah, but when... Have you ever had a car filled with blood when you hadn't killed somebody? Don Taylor?
Do you watch the CSI programs? They don't need a car full of blood to find blood. I mean, have you ever cut your finger and just, like, dripped a drop of blood somewhere?
Yeah, but that's my blood.
Well, exactly.
This is blood of the guy.
But imagine, if you cut your finger and you dripped a drop of blood, maybe, and you didn't realize you dropped it in someone's carpet, and then they were brutally murdered, like, 2 weeks later, and then they find your blood in the carpet. Why is your blood at the scene, Rick Emerson? Why?
This all seems very improbable, Don. Seems like you're just grasping at straws now. Now you're like one of those fancy schmancy defense attorneys always coming up with an alibi and some sort of an excuse and some sort of a defense. All right, here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
The Winter Park Police Department broke up a fight Saturday after a man attacked another man who was dressed as Elmo. The attack occurred about 3 p.m. Saturday when the man dressed like Elmo went into the Guitar Center in Winter Park Village, Florida. Police said the man was hired to perform as Elmo at a children's event at Winter Park Village and took a break. Police said the man was browsing in the guitar store when the assailant walked in. According to police, the attacker went right for Elmo, causing a disturbance in the store and starting a fight.
As they always do.
Elmo was able to fight off his attacker as punches were thrown and broke a few of the assailant's fingers. Police said they broke up the fight and took the attacker to Florida Hospital Orlando, where he was treated for broken fingers. Then Baker acted, temporarily detained for a mental health evaluation.
What was the venue of the fight exactly?
It was in a guitar center.
And so why was Elmo... I know.
It was some
like
kind of a children's event. They were doing some kind of children's promotion, children's event, some Sesame Street related thing, apparently. And there was a guy there dressed as Elmo as part of the children's.
I just love the idea of a parent taking the child there so they can appreciate the wonder and majesty of Elmo and Muppets and whatever. And then you're just seeing Elmo just beat a guy's ass. Seeing Elmo just give that guy just a whole lot of fives right in the face.
My favorite part of the story is the final line in the story where it says quite dryly, according to Winter Park Police Lieutenant Wayne Farrell, he said he has never seen an Elmo attack in his 37 years of experience.
I was waiting for him to say, I haven't seen an Elmo attack. I'm sorry. I was playing the wrong soundbite there. I was trying to be overly clever. But I'm picturing him sort of like the large Marge of the story. It was on a night like this 40 years ago, the last time I seen an Elmo attack this bad. Let me tell you all about it in my crusty accent. But can you imagine, I mean, just like your mom, you're like, I'm going to drop you off for an afternoon of family fun, and you come back and Elmo is just bludgeoning a guy. I mean, Elmo is just beating a guy into a frothy pulp.
Or even just where the crazy guy is just pounding at Elmo, and they're just bouncing right off.
Elmo's had enough!
He's in a giant foam suit.
Well, see, but no, that's where Elmo has the advantage there, because he's got a natural sort of insulation.
Yeah.
This is why, we have a long-standing love of mascot abuse stories. I think just as a people, and then specifically on the show, I mean, you can't make me smile more than to find the video of a guy dressed as like, a giant hot dog, or a pirate or something, or like a toucan, just being whacked with a golf club.
Well, I mean, a few years ago, there was I think it was the OSU mascot, whichever one is the duck, I think it was, and it was like mocking the other players as they were going off the field from the opposite team, and one of the football players just hauled off and just punched the duck in the head really, really hard, and then, of course, got in a whole lot of trouble because it's just some teenage girl in the suit.
But you don't really think that. Like, you don't make that distinction, right? I mean,
no.
Logically, I know that there's some part-time wage slave or something inside there. But it is strange that even as a grown man, I look and I think, well, the taco is taunting me, Your Honor. It's the taco had it coming. Meanwhile, there's just, like some poor Guatemalan guy inside who's earning like $1 an hour to stand in a foam suit and sweat to death. Anywho, all right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. And here at Legion of News, we want to welcome a brand new business partner. And this is where I would do a drum roll if I had a, I might have a drum roll here. Wait a second.
You have some kind
I
of trumpet sound?
The biggest
sounds?
Thing, of course, the fact that we find so many candidates.
No.
You do the John McCain sound.
I guess at this point, we are only hopeful that the regular...
No. That's almost totally inaccurate. We'll just say that we're welcoming a brand new business partner. I'll insert a drum roll in post here, but not really. And that is Squires Electric. And first and foremost, you need to know you can find out more about them at squireselectric.com. And that is just as it sounds. S-Q-U-I-R-E-S Electric. E-L-E-C-E-L-E-R... Wow.
You were
right
better
out of
off before you tried to help them.
See, here's the thing, and I should have just accepted the fact that it's like two words, four syllables, and also they're words everybody knows, Squires Electric. And now I've made it sound like it's some sort of Russian nesting doll of linguistics. Mm. Also, there's a... Also,
this is the best first live spot for a sponsor ever.
Also, there's an umlaut over the top of it, and then one of those things from Norway that's like an O with a line through it.
And all the E's are silent.
Plus, there's a Z for no readily apparent reason. Anywho, you can find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com, SquiresElectric.com, and here's what you need to know. If it has to do with wires, with wiring in your home or your business, they can make your life easier. It's kind of what I call the I don't need to see the math solution. I had a friend of mine, actually, who worked for Microsoft some years ago, and this is like in the early days of, I mean, you know, the internet existed, but people didn't really use it all that often. It was in the nascent days of the internet, and it was back when all of the countries didn't necessarily talk to each other in terms of internet connectivity and communications. Anyway, so this guy worked at Microsoft, and they wanted to be able to mail stuff, you know, electronically mail things back and forth from, like, the United States to France. And so they assigned it to this guy. They're like, hey, we need to be able to email our business offices in France or whatever. And the guy says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to route a subconnector for the email through a way station and, like, Bill Gates just cut him off. Bill Gates just goes, like, he just draws his hand and says, I don't care. It just needs to work. Get out of my office. So this is the thing about your home, you know, and the wiring and all of the many ensnarled electrical cables in your walls. You don't really think about it until, like, it doesn't work or it needs to be maintained or fixed or installed. It's like with plumbing, where it's like you're just used to, you know, turn on the tap and water magically comes out. Except it's not magic. It's like a guy who knows what he's doing. And that guy, that's not you.
And the thing about electrical stuff is if you don't know what you're doing, you know.
Death.
It could kill you.
Yeah. Also, and not in a wacky way, you know, like where it's involving you dressed up as a foam dollar bill and dancing on a street corner.
Yeah, this is like putting up bookshelves, and the worst thing that could happen is you lose a little drywall.
Yeah. No, this is really... You won't be here anymore. You will be gone. People will be speaking glowingly about you, so to speak. Anyway, Squires Electric has been here for 12 years, and Joe Squires is actually born here. He grew up in Washougal. And so you've got something in your house that needs fixed, maintained, installed, I mean, removed for that matter. That's when you call Squires Electric. Otherwise, it's just a road to nowhere and the pain and to, and then you end up being a public service announcement. So you can find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com. The phone number is 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. 1609. You can also see that at legionofnews.com, by the way, if you want to get that information again. It's 503-252-1609. You can find out more at legionofnews.com. They do free estimates, and there's no job too small, no job too large. They've literally done, Joe Squires actually told me, they've literally done like a single light socket. Which is like they just go to the guy's, you know, the house, and it's like there's two sockets in the room, and like he needs three. And so they put it in. But they've also done just massive condominiums, big office buildings. If it has to do with wires or with wiring in your home or your business, they can make your life easier. And you don't have to see the math. It's just going to work, and it's going to work the first time.
So and everyone who works for them that I have met so far has been a lovely person.
And just say it.
And there's a lot of very nice-looking young men who work for Squires Electric as well.
There you go.
Not that I'm being creepy about that in any way.
See, you're allowed to. See, when you do it, it's not creepy. It's charming.
Oh.
503-252-1609 or find out more at SquiresElectric.com, a brand-new business partner here at Legion of News. SquiresElectric.com. Here is Don Taylor.
The national average price for a gallon of self-serve regular gasoline stands at $2.69. That's according to the latest Lundberg survey.
Is this Trilby Lundberg?
Publisher Trilby Lundberg Woo! Says the price you're paying depends a lot on where you live.
Oh, damn it. Sorry. Pay no attention. Sorry. Once again, Trilby Lundberg.
In the contiguous USA, Newark, New Jersey is at the bottom, $2.44. And San Francisco is at the top of our panel, $3.03 for regular.
I know we've talked about the unique cadence that Trilby Lundberg has before, but I can't quite place...
In the contiguous USA, Newark, New Jersey is at the bottom, $2.44. And San Francisco is at the top of our panel, $3.03 for regular.
She sounds like Mary Madeline, but I can't quite figure out what sort of dialect that is.
With a name like Trilby Lundberg, I expect somebody who's much bouncier, you know, much peppier.
Like someone named Pixley?
Yeah. Lundberg says there should have been a 7-cent drop at the pump, but two U.S. policy-driven factors kept prices from falling.
The Federal Reserve announcement Tuesday, in effect, lowered the dollar and hiked the price of crude. That's more than 4 cents right there. And ethanol prices zoomed and in a blended gallon of gasoline, that added more than 2 cents.
I wonder if this is a thing she's really legitimately interested in, or if someone hired her to be a flack, and so she just had to learn it, like she crash-coursed it.
Well, it's the Lundberg Survey, in capital letters, and she's Trilby Lundberg, so I think that...
But is it like a calling, or is it just a thing that pays well?
I think it's probably a thing that pays well.
Right. It would be kind of hot if she was really legitimately into it, like if she was just fascinated by
it. Like, remember Faith Popcorn?
Yeah, I was just going to say Faith Popcorn, actually, but I went Pixley instead. I was going to say Faith Popcorn.
What a ridiculous way to make a living, but kind of awesome, too. It's like, well, I just tell people what trends are.
Yeah. Well, it was a
and
simpler time.
And they pay
me. Yeah. It was like being that Alvin Toffler guy, where you could just go like, and we're all going to be out of food. Because I said so. And, you know, and it doesn't really matter that none of it ever comes true. By that time, you've got, like, the next book out.
Weren't we all supposed to have been, like, wasn't the Earth supposed to have been taken over by insects by now? Wasn't that something else that...
Probably.
...that we were told in, like, the 70s and the early 80s?
Maybe. This is why I don't... That's why, like, I need something you don't talk about. The ice caps are melting. Like, I just don't... I go home and I read my copy of Future Shock and I just laugh. I just laugh. Because nothing... Here's the thing. Whatever's going to kill us eventually, and I mean, something will. Something always does. But it's not going to be anything that we're predicting right now. So by definition, anything that they are saying now will harm us, I take off the table as being harmful. Because that's never accurate.
I'm betting on one of those freak asteroids.
You know what we should talk about this later on. I have a whole thing about freak asteroids. Okay, here's Dawn Taylor.
A transgendered senior was denied the title of homecoming king last weekend in Monashores, Michigan, just short of Muskegon. The school's senior class voted for Oakley Reed, who goes by Oak. Reed campaigned for the title of homecoming king on Facebook. Students say the administration gave, quote, official confirmation that Oak did receive the most votes by a landslide. They eventually stopped counting his votes because he is officially enrolled as a female. The Facebook page called Oak is My King has been created by students to show support for Oak and transgendered students everywhere. School administrators say Reed did not win the title because he was disqualified before the votes were counted. School principal Jennifer Bustard said the school has a policy of reviewing the ballots for signs of intentional harm or false nominations. Bustard said there were no signs of intentional harm in the recent vote. School Superintendent Terry Babbitt says Reed was ineligible because the ballot clearly says students may vote for one girl for queen and one boy for king.
I'm so confused.
Reed's parents support their child and are disappointed in the school's decision. Reed says he plans to have a sex change operation before turning 18.
Wait, I'm so unclear. So Reed, he's a guy now, living as a woman, plans to become a woman later.
Well, he's biologically female and ran for... homecoming king.
I didn't know which it was.
And was voted homecoming king by the majority of the students.
Okay.
But the school district, apparently, the school superintendent disqualified him because said that he's not actually a boy.
I don't even know where I'm rooting on here because the linguistic purist in me wants to sort of, you know, say, well, look, the language is the language, and you can't just, you know, like, words mean what they mean. But then the other part of me who just likes to make trouble thinks it's time for a bucket of pig's blood. And you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean.
Pig's blood for a pig. I'm sorry, that was creepy. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Jeez. The news blog Politico reports that the Fox News Network has dibs on every potential Republican candidate who's not in elected office, with the exception of Mitt Romney. Fox's contracts with Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and especially Sarah Palin are infuriating executives at other news outlets who can't book the Fox stars because of their exclusivity contracts. Meanwhile, Fox's candidates enjoy an unparalleled platform from which to speak directly to primary voters, says Politico, in a friendly environment. Fox has said that candidates will have to sever their ties to the network once they formally declare their candidacy, which does nothing but give candidates an incentive to delay their declarations for as long as possible. The conservative incest is taking place at the very network that most influences the way Americans think about politics. According to a new poll, more Americans get their political information from cable news than from any other source. And more cable watchers, 42%, watch Fox than any other network. Its personalities are ranked as having the greatest positive impact on the political debate in the country, with Bill O'Reilly on top and Glenn Beck close behind him.
I think it'd be great if Fox just started edging towards the surreal. Like, I would abuse that power almost immediately if I could. Like, I would just run like a cake for office, you know, like a really charismatic cake, you know, one with like big googly cartoon eyes or something drawn on top, and be like, our candidate this year, a cake. You know, and then just have a static shot of like a three-layer chocolate cake or something there. And just to see, like, what kind of votes the cake would get. You know that if Fox... Here's the thing.
I have nothing to say to that.
You know that if Fox News went on television and ordered everyone in America to vote for a cake for president, you know that there's like 2% of the country that would do it. Just because, right?
Huh.
I mean, how great would that be? I always wanted to... It was like, you know, the radio ratings are notoriously inaccurate. I mean, they're just, you know, they're crap. So I always wanted to have $1 billion just so I could create a totally fictitious radio station that wasn't actually broadcasting anywhere, but bought advertising. Was advertised on like every billboard in the, you know, on every street corner, just to see if I could drive it to number one without it actually like existing. All right, here's Don Taylor.
One California judge reversed another judge's decision for Lindsay Lohan to be held in jail without bail. Initially, she was to stay incarcerated until October 22nd. Lohan's father, Michael, says the initial decision was wrong.
You know what's wrong? Never mind.
I've been asking that Lindsay go into a rehab all along. She should have never, ever, ever been, had to face jail time or incarceration in the UCLA medical facility.
Okay.
He says he wishes he could switch places with his daughter.
That could be arranged.
I'd be in jail rather than my daughter today. I thought I'd be eating a bologna sandwich for a violation of an order of protection.
I don't even know what he's talking about. It's all just pops and buzzes.
I'd be in jail rather than my daughter today. I thought I'd be eating a bologna sandwich for a violation of an order of
protection. And it just like ends. Like all I hear is bologna sandwich, and then it's just like a bunch of whistling noises.
Do we still have that song?
We do. What the hell is it even called? I want to say Remembering Lacey, but that's that horrible song about Lacey Peterson. But yeah, the
I love you, Lindsay.
Yeah. No, we'll play it next hour. No, okay. I have that. We'll rack that up for the
beginning of
the show.
Lohan says jail is not the place for Lindsay.
Theoretically, he says that. Hold on a second. Now it's... This is what I get for making fun. No. Now it's a quest. Now I've got to get it to play. Wait. Nah, apparently there's just nothing there. Okay. All right. I may have to, our sound has gone a little wonky, as the Brits would say, so I may need to restart this. So you might not be able to do any sound there for a second.
Well, I'll read something that, I was going to go to the science news, but that requires sound because we need the music.
Sherrod, I am.
What have you done to us?
I don't know. It's just, it's all gone. It's all gone,
okay.
Cattywampus.
I'll tell another story while you're...
Okay, meanwhile, I'll just sort of do... That's not a teletype at all.
No.
That's just me going...
That's a tugboat.
No, I'm Evan Rude from The Rescuers.
Walmart is eyeing Africa and has decided to start its push into the continent by offering $4.1 billion for South Africa's third biggest retailer, Massmart, according to Reuters. Massmart, which runs 290 stores across South Africa, also operates outlets in 14 other sub-Saharan countries. Walmart offered almost a 10% premium over Massmart's Thursday share price, although no formal agreement has yet been reached. Walmart's bid comes as South Africa has sought to elevate its profile as a nation primed for investment. In the country's bid for the 2010 World Cup, South African President Thabo Mbeki wrote of his desire to ensure that the 21st century unfolds as a century of growth and development in Africa. Analysts said that Walmart's offer is a big vote of confidence for the South African retail economy and for South Africa, but that a Walmart takeover will have a notable impact on pricing and competition between South African retailers.
You know, really, given the labor methods that Walmart seems to endorse, I would be nervous about their desire to, quote, go into Africa and start buying things.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I have nothing to say other than that. You're okay. Absolutely right, Rick Emerson.
No, I'm just saying. Let's leave it at that. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
How about we do the science, dude?
Fantastic. Let's see if God will allow us to. There we go. Fantastic.
Hey, look at that.
Awesome. Here's your science on the march for Monday, September 27th, 2010.
A new space-based surveillance satellite is orbiting Earth after a successful launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base on the Central California coast. Diana Bell, a spokeswoman for the satellite's builder, Boeing, said Sunday it was a picture-perfect launch on a beautiful Saturday night for the Minotaur 4 rocket carrying the satellite. Ball said the launch team was able to see the satellite for a long stretch on the warm, clear night. A pair of Los Angeles television stations said they received several calls from viewers asking about the fireball they'd seen in the sky. The satellite was designed to detect and monitor debris and space objects that could be a threat to national security and communications. It will be operated from Schriever Air Force Base in Colorado. A decision to move 186 chimpanzees from a southern New Mexico facility to Texas is pitting government officials and scientists against a coalition of elected officials and animal rights advocates, including New Mexico's governor and also famed primate researcher Dr. Jane Goodall. The chimps have spent the past decade undisturbed by medical researchers, but the National Institutes of Health has decided to cut government costs by moving the animals to a San Antonio primate facility, where animal rights activists worry they'll be improperly poked, prodded, and stabbed in the name of science. Governor Bill Richardson and others would prefer to see the chimps' current home, a former biomedical research lab at Holloman Air Force Base, converted into a chimpanzee sanctuary. After visiting the site Tuesday, the governor said the animals are in excellent health, and he suggested the New Mexico lab could instead become a behavioral research facility. But the director of the Texas facility maintains opponents have it wrong. The chimps will have outstanding care and live in quality surroundings as they undergo testing that can include injections and, in some cases, use of a needle to remove a small liver sample.
Doesn't it seem like all the bad labs are in New Mexico? Every time the government opens any sort of a lab in New Mexico, that's always where something horrible comes from.
Yeah. It has that history going back to the nuclear tests, though. And, of course, there's all the mutants that live in the hills and, like, will kill you if your RV gets stranded.
Yes, yes, and giant ants that live in the sewer system.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to Science on the March right here at Legion of News. This is Don Taylor.
That's actually all the
really?
Science
is that
I
the
have
end
today.
Of science? A relative paucity of science news. How sad.
I know. I kind of thought you would have more to say, really. But
about the monkey thing? Well,
the monkey thing and the satellite. I don't know.
How many BJ and the Bear jokes can I possibly make? I mean, really, it's just, you know, it's the monkey. What was the other thing that you thought I would have more to say on?
Oh, the satellite thing. But I guess not really.
Yeah. You know, I...
That's okay. That just keeps us on schedule for all of the other news because I have so many fascinating stories to share.
I mean, it's, you know, monkeys are going to rise up against us. Space is filled with crap that's going to kill us all someday. I mean, it's the long and the short of it. I mean, really, that's just sometimes the cliff notes really are the whole story. There's your science on the march for Monday. Hey, not to be this guy or to give the whole behind the curtain, whatever.
Yeah, what am I doing?
Your headphone cable is abundantly taut there, and I live in fear that it's gonna tear the wires out of it. It's suddenly gonna go. Okay, I just didn't want you to damage it or something.
There you go.
Okay, I didn't want you to. Because if your headphones go bad, then it throws off the whole. You know,
right?
If your headphones go weird, it can ruin the entire show.
And it could hurt my ears when it came ripping off my head, and then I would start crying.
Yes.
Or scream, right. And that would damage the expensive microphone.
That's what I'm saying. You're listening to Legion of News right here. Legion of News right here at legionofnews.com at pdx.fm, which is our primary outlet for this fine show, along with iTunes, where you can get this program later on in the day, and again as a direct archive download at pdx.fm or at Legion of News. .com, brought to you by, among such folks as The Cleaning Solution. Mr. Michael Beatty is the owner and proprietor of The Cleaning Solution. And if you have...
dirty things?
I didn't want to say dirty things, because then I knew I would say that, and then you'd arch an eyebrow at me, and then we'd giggle like children. But I don't know if this happens to you, but so I was... My wife's been on this whole... I mean, God love her. But she's on this whole thing where she's... I was about to say something that I would have regretted because I think it would have come out improperly. I will just say this, that there's my mom when I was growing up, I was going to compare it to my wife did something my mom did. You know, and I'm not saying that like, you know, that's just, you know, I'm not saying that there's a lot of comparisons, you know, between my wife and my mother. But I will say growing up, my mom was the only person I knew that rearranged the furniture to keep the carpet wearing evenly. And that was the thing. Like I go to other people's houses. Like, when you were growing up, did your mom move the furniture a lot? She probably did, because she seemed a little compulsive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my mother enjoyed, you know, rearranging things and stuff like that. But honestly, we didn't have a lot of carpet in our house, because I know that when my father built a house for us to move into when I was in, like, kindergarten.
When you were coming to escape the Dust Bowl?
Well, and my father decided, since I'm building this house, I'm going to make it my way. Like, for example, we will have no lawn. Everything will be concrete, and then I don't have to actually maintain grass.
Good for him.
And he said, it's all going to be linoleum and tile in the whole
living room. So you can hose it clean.
In the living room, kitchen, hallway area.
Well done.
So, yeah.
A man after my own heart, he is. Because that's the thing, you can just, like, spray anything away. Any amount of blood can be removed with just, like, a garden hose. But I would go to my friends' houses, and it's like the furniture was in the same place, like, 15 years. It's like the couch is right there. The couch never moved. But I didn't realize until much later on that's a thing you do to, like, keep the carpet from, you know, wearing in the same place all the time or whatever. Anyway, so, so my wife is, like, rearranging all the stuff in the living room over the weekend, and it's that thing where you didn't realize all this time that, like, the coffee table or one of the couches in this case was actually covering like this stain that I think predates our actual residence in the home. It was like something that, you know, it was there like the day we moved in, and it got covered before we ever noticed it, and so now it's just exposed. And here's the thing, now it's like proxy shame, because it looks like that stain in the carpet is from us.
Because usually it's the opposite. You move furniture, and then suddenly you went, oh, that's what color the carpet used to be.
See, or that, or like when we moved in, we might have actually said, what about this? Oh, we'll put the couch there. It didn't really matter. The point is, so now it's exposed, and we got to get the whole thing cleaned. But
you know a guy.
We know a guy. 971-533-3211 is how you contact Mr. Michael Beatty. He's the owner of The Cleaning Solution, a proud sponsor of Legion of News right here at PDX.fm, and a longtime listener of the Rick Emerson radio program as well. So he's good people, as they say. 971-533-3211. Anything your feet might touch. He also does upholstery repair and odor removal, stain removal, all that stuff. So whether it's upholstery, linoleum, tile, carpet, wood flooring, anything. 971-533-3211, The Cleaning Solution. This is Dawn Taylor.
A woman accused of running down three Salem teenagers in a crosswalk Thursday night might have been taking anti-anxiety drug Ativan before the crash, according to Marion County court documents. Sophia Downing, 29, appeared before a judge Friday through closed-circuit television on suspicion of driving under the influence of intoxicants, manslaughter, and assault. Investigators said Downing's 1994 Chevy Blazer jumped a curb near Northeast Lancaster Drive and Winema Place and struck three teenagers. Brittany Green, 18, was killed in the crash along with a 16-year-old boy whose name has not been released. Jorge Echeverria, 18, was listed in critical condition in a Salem hospital. Green's mother, Lois Green, said her daughter was on her way home from classes at Comeca Community College when the crash occurred. Court records obtained said that Downing had been arrested in the past and charged with attempted murder in 1996 in Yamhill County. Those charges were dropped, and she served time for a lesser charge. Administrators at Comeca Community College said the victims were students at the Winema Place High School program on campus.
Typically, if somebody's been charged with attempted murder, that's somebody you want on Ativan. I mean, that's really who Ativan was. That was made. It was made for those people and for me.
And yet, I don't know. I've never taken Ativan, but
I have.
It seems like one of those drugs that you might not want to be driving.
I took some. You know, here's the funny thing about this, actually, is that I have a big bottle of, as you would say, you have a big bottle of Vicodin. I have this. It's a big bottle, but Ativan themselves, they're tiny. I mean, they're minuscule. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, and that's like, you know, when you get any sort of a pill, most of it's like filler and cornstarch and whatever.
Yeah.
And even with that, it's like the head of a pin or something. It's like, take half of one. You know, it's like, no, because that's impossible. It's the thing where, like, even the pill cutter just reduces it to powder. So, like, I have to take the whole thing. I have no choice, Dawn.
You have no other option.
It's a
really
medical necessity. But I have this bottle of Ativan that I typically don't take. I mean, it's like I've had the same bottle of 30 for, like, 2 years. But I actually took one on Friday because my sleep schedule was just all, like, effed up over the last couple of weeks. And it was like, that's like when you absolutely positively need to remain still for, like, 8 hours. So I took one of those Friday. So it's strange that you mentioned this. Yeah, it's a thing you don't want to drive on, stand. It's like, you take it, and it's like, and it takes effect quickly. Where you just find, I think I took the Ativan when I was sitting in the big green chair in my home office. And then I realized about 20 minutes later, I was just sitting there, like, staring, like, at a wall. You know, like, I was sort of like, well, I gotta get, you know, I should get up and get ready for bed. And I didn't even wake up. It's like I just sort of attained self-awareness again about 20 minutes later, and I was just staring blankly at, like, the sort of stucco design of the inside of my office. It's awesome.
I hadn't taken anything to help me sleep in a couple of months, and then on Friday I refilled my prescription of Trazodone. Ooh. And I hadn't taken anything for, like honestly, 2 months. And I was like, I'm really keyed up, and I need to sleep. I'm going to take a hot bath and read. And I took the Trazodone before I took the bath. And I took this hot bath, and I get out of the tub, and I'm standing there, and I'm just kind of going, whoa.
I can't move.
Wow.
I'm so heavy.
Just made it to the bed and, like, sat down on a towel and dried myself off and went, I'm going to sleep now.
You know,
and it was awesome.
We'll have to cut ourselves up here. It's just going to become another Rick and Dawn drug show. But I'll just say that I made the mistake one time only. Because the doctors, they're just such fools about things sometimes, where they just go, no, you should be able to go about your day as normal, but avoid operating heavy equipment. Lie. I tried to do this show once on Ativan, and I mean, it was like, I don't know what they were thinking. I guess they thought that my job was like I was a file clerk or something, but I mean, it was just like, it was useless. I don't remember anything about it at all. Here's Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
Thieves have tried to blackmail a Peruvian small-town mayor into withdrawing his re-election bid by claiming to have stolen his late father's skull. The thieves dug up the body of Rogelio Vizcarra's father and then sent him a text message. Mr. Vizcarra, mayor of San Cristobal in southern Peru, says the message sender offered to return the skull if he withdrew his bid for re-election. But he says he still plans to run. Police in the small town near Moquegua.
There's really no acronym for this, though, is there? Like a, you know, W-H-Y, you know, we have skull.
Yeah.
Concede election now.
Yeah, you have to type the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And it's in Spanish, so there's like...
you get a tilde.
Tildes and things.
Yeah, typical.
They said the grave robbers unearthed the remains of Juan Vizcarra, who died in 1978, removed the skull, and left the bones scattered around the cemetery. The crime of offending the memory of the dead could be punished by a 2-year jail sentence. Meanwhile, Mr. Vizcarra publicly condemned his political rivals for running a dirty campaign, and the authorities say they are investigating a number of leads, including the mayor's opponents.
See, the next time somebody says that our elections have become a circus up here, I want you to reflect on the fact that there, he actually is condemning his political rivals for stealing his dead father's skull and sending him taunting ransom notes about it.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine if, like, Joe Biden went out and dug up the skull of somebody from Sarah Palin's and held it aloft on television, you know? Where is your father's skull now?
I wouldn't put it past him, frankly.
If
anybody would do it, it would either be Biden or McCain.
Dick Cheney.
I could see either of them digging up a skull. Now, Cheney would have a guy do it.
Now, that's true. He has people for that.
Cheney would have people do it and it would never be traced back to him.
Now, here's a list of items I'm going to need later on today, including John Larroquette's spine. Okay, thank you. All right. You're listening to Legion of News. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. Coming up on the Rick Emerson radio program, we'll have our... there's so much television to talk about. It's all very difficult, as Manuel would say. He's difficult. Which will lead very cunningly into a Castalia Language Center spot here in just a moment. But coming up later on, we'll talk about last night's Mad Men. We got, I mean, just the list of shows. Last night's Mad Men. We got last night's Dexter. And then we got last night's Eastbound and Down, which I think I am like the only person in the Western Hemisphere who watched it. Because they didn't do any promotion. Like, nobody even knew it was on but me, I think. I think I'm like the only guy. So
I just forgot, and I had so many other things going on. And
it was
now
so
I feel
great.
Terrible.
It was so great.
I had to watch Mad Men and Dexter, and I just couldn't cram another one in.
It was a difficult night, you know, in terms of getting a lot of TV watching. And it's going to be like this every week now, until Mad Men is done in like a month or something.
Because I have to watch these things on Monday morning.
Yeah.
And so that's like 3 solid hours of TV
cramming.
I have to watch in the morning while like trying to work and get ready for the big show. So.
Yeah, you know, the great thing is I just put the I put it on my iPhone, and then I can just you know, while I'm doing whatever, I can just
while you're driving.
I would never do that. What I have done occasionally though with television shows is and we can't get distracted. We have to move on
right
here just a moment. But what I have done occasionally, I won't watch TV in the car because that's dangerous. But what I will do, if it's a show that I've seen before or if it's a show that you really don't need to be there every moment, I'll actually just listen to it sometimes.
Hmm.
There's certain shows you actually realize you don't really need to watch it sometimes. Dexter is often one of those shows. And actually Mad Men, too, because it's not like... it's a pretty looking show, but it's not like the action is visual. You can actually listen to Mad Men and get the gist of it sometimes. Anyway, so we got that coming up. We'll talk about Mad Men, Dexter, Eastbound and Down. That is all coming up. We got Aaron Duran with The Week in Geek. Plus, we have a very special holiday announcement that's going to be coming up next hour. And we'll talk about it a little bit here tomorrow, but there's not really much time. So we'll do it. We have a big holiday announcement, which could lead to big dividends for you. And I am not speaking figuratively. I'm speaking actually literally and so forth. This is all brought to you right here. This sort of gaggle of facts and information and forward promotions brought to you by Castalia Language Center. You can find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. They do Spanish language lessons for adults, not for children, not for teenagers. It is simply for you, adult. It's because you learn differently than kids when you're an adult. You grow up and your brain just works in a different fashion, and it functions not exactly the same way. Class size is limited to 8 people, which means you're going to get near individual attention. You're going to be able to learn at the same rate in the same way as the other people in the class. And plus, they can adjust your schedule. Your kid, they don't need to adjust anything. It's like there's a federal law that says you have to be there. They're not adjusting to a damn thing. You're an adult. You got things to do. You got kids of your own. You got the job. You got the other job. You got the whatever. You got the frisbee golf that everybody seems into these days for reasons that I don't really understand. But, you know, whatever. So they can adjust with your schedule, with the days of the week that work best for you, the hours that work best for you, and whether you are beginning your Spanish curriculum, your career as a Spanish learning student, or whether you are an intermediate student, or whether you're just, you know, you're an advanced speaker, but you're just brushing up, they can handle all that stuff. You can find out more about it at PortlandSpanish.com. CostellaLanguageCenter.com. That's how you contact Castalia Language Center. This is...
Yes?
Is... Don Taylor.
Yay, that's me.
All right.
I was trying to get the Spanish translator thing to Spanish to translate. I have stolen your dead father's skull for me, but I was really... Ah, there we go.
Maybe we can just call Clara Greville and ask her that.
He robado el cráneo de su padre muerto.
Okay.
I have stolen your dead father's skull.
I got to see if there's footage of that guy actually saying that. All right, here's Don Taylor.
A man was shot dead in downtown Portland early Sunday morning near Northwest 2nd and Cooch in what appears to be a gang-related shooting. Officers were clearing the disturbance a block away about 2 a.m. when shots rang out. Several people were seen running from the area. More officers were quickly sent to the scene, and police found a 20-year-old man with a wound from a handgun. He was taken to OHSU, where he died. About 30 minutes after the shooting, a 23-year-old man walked into Legacy Emmanuel Hospital with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. It's not known if he was wounded in the same shooting. Also at about 2 a.m., there were reports of gunfire around the 8600 block of North Swift Way at just before 2 a.m. No suspects were in custody. The gunfire shot down MAX trains until about 8:30 a.m. Sunday and surrounding streets until mid-afternoon on
Wait,
Sunday.
Wait, so they think it's all like one guy or one group of guys?
One
prolonged incident?
Yeah, they think it was all the same group of folks fighting with each other.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Mayor Sam Adams said later Sunday that, quote, "This makes me angry because there are people who knew these individuals had guns and they just let it happen."
Okay.
I like Sam. I really do. But that is a terrible quote.
He ought to just say, like, look, if we catch you, you're going to go to jail and you're going to be beaten senseless. You're going to be beaten 24 hours a day. You're going to be beaten like a gong. You're going to be beaten like you owe us money.
Beaten like a circus pony.
That's, I mean, really. I mean, wouldn't you have a little, I mean, don't you think, I'm not saying that people who are anti-Sam Adams are really truly going to come around, but he'd get a little grudging respect.
Yeah.
He said, look, we catch you, we're going to beat you on the way to the station house. We're going to beat you in the basement in the, you know, Sipowicz style, you know, with a swinging light bulb. And you're going to go to jail where you're going to eat food filled with cockroaches. So, you know, suck that.
Like, have you seen Oz? That's going to be you.
Yeah, and then
that's
you will be,
your life.
Then that's before the shivving starts. So, yeah, I would like to see a guy say that. All right, here's Don Taylor.
The United Nations was set today to appoint an obscure Malaysian astrophysicist to act as Earth's first contact for any aliens that may come visiting.
Not like those real prominent, showy Malaysian astrophysicists.
Oh, yeah, I think this should have been part of the science news, but it got in the wrong stack. Maslan Othman, the head of the UN's little-known Office for Outer Space Affairs, which, by the way, actually exists.
Is it a closet somewhere?
Its acronym is UNOOSA, and if you Google that, it will take you to the webpage for the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs.
Okay.
Is to describe her potential new role next week at a scientific conference at the Royal Society's Kavli Conference Center in Buckinghamshire. She's scheduled to tell delegates that the recent discovery of hundreds of planets around other stars has made the detection of extraterrestrial life more likely than ever before.
I think the biggest thing, of course, is the fact that we find so many candidates. We have over 700. We believe about half of those will probably turn out to be planets.
And that means the UN must be ready to coordinate humanity's response to any first contact. During a talk Othman gave recently to fellow scientists, she said, "The continued search for extraterrestrial communication by several entities sustains the hope that someday humankind will receive signals from extraterrestrials. When we do, we should have in place a coordinated response that takes into account all the sensitivities related to the subject. The UN is a ready-made mechanism for such coordination."
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? This sounds like a parody of a news story. The United Nations, I mean, this is like, you know, and I'm not some anti-UN guy, but we all know people who are. But this is like one of those stories that, that, like, your mother-in-law would forward around, you know, and it would be like a fake memo from inside the UN where they're trying to figure out the correct, you know, the politically correct language to use when speaking to aliens so that we don't offend them.
Well, and that's precisely why I went and, like looked up the Office for Outer Space Affairs to see if this actually exists, because this reads like a parody news story, but it is not. Professor Richard Crowther, an expert in space law and governance at the UK Space Agency, who leads British delegations to the UN on
an
such
expert
matters.
In space law.
Yes.
How long does it take to become an expert in that, do you suppose? Is that like all afternoon, or can you break for tea?
He said, "Othman is absolutely the nearest thing we have to a take me to your leader person." However, he thinks humanity's first encounter with any intelligent aliens is more likely to be via radio or light signals than by beings arriving on Earth. And he suggests even if we do encounter aliens in the flesh, they are more likely to be microbes than anything intelligent.
Yeah, all right. Well, so there
we need to look through these candidates with ground-based telescopes and find out which are really planets and which aren't.
There you go. William Baraki, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget the Rick Emerson show comes up at 1 o'clock today. We'll have our Mad Men recap. Dexter, Eastbound and Down. We'll have the Weekend Geek with Mr. Aaron Duran and so forth. This is Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Fantastic. Here's your entertainment news for Monday, right here at Legion of News.
Johnny Knoxville has gotten married to his girlfriend Naomi Nelson. The couple are parents to son Rocco Akira Clapp, who was born in December. Knoxville also has a teenage daughter named Madison from his relationship to ex-wife Melanie Clapp.
Here's the thing about Johnny Knoxville. Is that just sort of like the little, when you, a little grimace or whatever when you said his name? But I have no reason to dislike the guy. I don't know why I did that. I feel like I should dislike him, but I don't. Or he's a guy that I would typically dislike, like that category of guy, but I don't dislike him in any way. So
I don't have anything really against him personally.
Sort of indifferent to him.
I have no use for the Jackass stuff at all. But he's okay.
But
I
mean, you know, but as dumb as this sounds like Joyce DeWitt comparing Three's Company to Shakespeare, I know. But the Jackass stuff really does have a sort of a proud American tradition. Yeah. I mean, you know, the sideshow is, you know, the sideshow is that is part of the American cultural experience. And plus, you got to admire a guy who got his start by just letting his friends shoot him, you know, while he was wearing the cheapest bulletproof vest he could possibly find.
Yeah.
And then he just said, look, I got this for like $5 on the internet. Shoot me. And we're going to film it and send it to MTV. There's a certain amount of like, you know, there's a certain amount of raw motivation there that I can appreciate.
It's actually an iconic American success story.
I mean, you know, you got to figure that is really like a glory, you know, glory or death just incarnate right there.
Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong will make his Broadway debut in American Idiot as he will replace Tony Vincent in the role of St. Jimmy from September 28th through October 3rd. The musical, which opened in April, is based on Green Day's 2004 album of the same name. Vincent had to leave American Idiot temporarily to attend to a family matter. Singer Rod Stewart is being sued by designer Karen Matthews, who claims Stewart failed to pay for clothes he ordered for his 2007 wedding to Penny Lancaster. A rep for Stewart told TMZ that the clothes that were made were ill-fitting and totally unstable. He had to buy a proper suit at the last minute. The lawsuit heads to court in November.
The clothes were totally unstable?
Yes, they were totally unstable.
I don't even know whether. How can clothing be unstable?
They were smoking and about to explode or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there was going to be some sort of protonic reversal that was going to happen.
damn my plutonium tuxedo.
And then suddenly everybody is just flung into the 12th dimension.
William Shatner stars as the dad in the new TV series based on the popular Twitter-based book, which is being called by the network Bleep My Dad Says. His character, Ed Goodson, is a blunt-speaking man that pretty much says what pops into his head without too much censoring. It seems familiar to his Denny Crane similar to his Denny Crane character on Boston Legal, but according to the actor, there are differences.
Let's see. So, I know this is his Twitter thing. It's the other Shatner.
Yes, the other.
Well, I don't Twitter.
Oh, for the love of Christ!
That's the wrong one.
Hold on.
I don't Twitter.
Are they all the same one?
I don't know. I would just assume, wouldn't you, that I had many, many, many William Shatner soundbites at any given moment?
Completely different.
Wait, hold on. No, this is him singing "I Want to Sex You Up." Well, I apologize. All right. I have two different Shatner sound bites, but they're both that.
Okay.
Is there more to the story?
No.
Because I think I can find it here.
Don't worry about it.
Now it's a quest. Now I got to find it.
Yeah, but we're running out of time. I can move on to
something. Damn you! All right. Well, we have to try it next hour so I can prove that I have the appropriate sound bite.
I'll make a little, note.
Failed. All right.
The seventh season of The Office aired this week on a rather bittersweet note, marking Steve Carell's final run on the series. Carell, however, is painting a rather pretty picture regarding the cast and crew's overall mood on set, as Michael Scott's inevitable departure from Dunder Mifflin has given the show a new sense of purpose.
Season 7 is so much different than Season 6 because it is a year later. And that is shocking. And Season 6 was so much more, so much, it felt like 2 years after season 4. So season seven...
I'm done with the soundbite.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there we go. Just move on.
Before we get acquainted with Andrew Garfield as the next Spider-Man, the actor does battle with Zombieland's Jesse Eisenberg in David Fincher's Facebook film, The Social Network.
Man, I can't even tell you. Just the giddy, childlike enthusiasm with which I am looking forward to the release of that film. Which opens, is it this coming Friday?
No. I think it might be next week.
All right. It sounds like, I'm... I guess it's silly that I don't even know when it opens, but I'm just waiting. Here's the thing about this show. I realized that just like TiVo stripped away my knowledge of knowing when any television programs were on, because, I never knew. Cell phones mean that I don't have to know anybody's phone number. TiVo means I don't have to know when anything airs. And this show means I don't have to remember any actual dates or facts or premieres, because I'll come in one day and I'll say, what's happening, Gunn? You'll say, well, movies in theaters today include, and then, so it's like this show is sort of my social reminder.
You don't have to know a damn thing.
It's like Facebook itself. I don't have to remember anybody's birthday anymore. That's the most glorious thing about Facebook. That's the single best thing about Facebook, is that now birthdays are remembered for me.
I guess it may open this week because you and I were unable to actually go to the press screening for it last week because it was at noon. And on Wednesday.
Right, so it's probably this week that opens. Yeah. Awesome. I am all over that.
Yes, it opens October 1st.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, this week. The picture, inspired by writer Ben Mezrich's book, The Accidental Billionaires, centers on the creation of Facebook and the clash of its co-creators, Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin. Garfield gives his take on playing Eduardo Saverin.
Yeah, it was a learning process. And thankfully, my character didn't have to have that much of a keen knowledge.
It's a made-up accent.
So, it was all much for much.
What am I?
Really,
are we interrupting his biscuits?
Reflection of my situation. But yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, it's a true revolution, and he is a genius, and he's created something, that's revolutionized the way we communicate.
Why are all these entertainment clips so boring?
Worse,
And he's got a mouthful of peanut butter, I think.
Why are actors so damn boring when they talk?
Well, because they don't have any thoughts of their own. Because if somebody isn't there, because if Aaron Sorkin isn't there to put dialogue in front of him, he's not that smart. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, because actors,
You should coach them if they're going to go on publicity tours.
Hey, act like you care.
Yeah.
How about you act that way, jackass? Act like you care about the movie you're promoting. God damn.
All right, and back to the music here.
Oh, love of Christ. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get all grumpy there.
That's all right. New on television tonight, we have new episodes of Chuck, Dancing with the Stars, House, a new episode of How I Met Your Mother. A new episode on TLC of Little People, Big World, in which aspiring filmmaker Matt gathers a cast and crew, including Jeremy, to shoot a horror movie about a creepy pumpkin farm. Because, you use what you've got. There's also a new episode on BBC of Top Gear, in which Jamie tries to drive up an active volcano in a Toyota Hilux, also test driving the Bentley Continental.
So did you see that whole thing about they believe they've sussed out the identity? Because there was this whole, because I guess there's some dispute. Well, we don't have time to get into it now. I'm looking at the clock, and all right, well, whatever. Anyway, and this is all true. The Rick Emerson Radio program comes up at 1 o'clock. Don't forget, if you are not a subscriber to the Rick Emerson Show, then you're missing out and will eventually fall irreparably behind the cultural curve. It's the only thing that keeps you current, really. Without it, you are lost. You can listen for just 32 cents a day. You sign up at rickemerson.com. Or if you find yourself not able to scrounge up that 32 cents a day, you can either mug somebody, which, seems like the faster route to do it. Or you can just call this number, 503-505-6964. You leave us a voicemail of 2 minutes or less describing why you or somebody you know should receive a free one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. Or you can send a limerick or a haiku to Dawn Taylor. That is Dawn at rickemerson.com, and each and every month, and we're going to be doing it this week, actually, so time is tight, because we got 2 days, and then we're going to start picking for this month.
By the way, you could also, if you really wanted to, there's the fellow who offered to cook and clean for me naked and sent me a photograph of himself in a towel.
But don't do that, because that didn't work.
No, it just made me a little bit kind of...
We can be bribed, though. We can be bribed with other things.
Yes. Oh, we can definitely be bribed with other things.
And here's the thing. While I appreciate that man's physique, Rick Emerson drives on the other side of the road. So
he didn't offer to clean for you naked.
No, but I'm saying that's the thing. It's like that's...
Oh, you're suggesting that gentlemen not offer to
I'm saying,
clean
look,
for
I,
you
look,
naked.
I can appreciate an attractive man. Sure, fine. Not really going to have a lot of bribe. It's just not going to have the same appeal to me, even in theory.
Okay.
All I'm saying is we can be bribed, or you can just drop Don a limerick or haiku. It's Don at rickemerson.com. So you got like today and tomorrow, and then later this week, we are actually going to pick the recipients of this month's Emerson Grant. You get a free one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show, courtesy of New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance. You can find out more about that at rickemerson.com. So on that note, ladies and gentlefolk, I'm going to bring down the curtain on another episode of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milk Packing District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, brought to you by Thomas Gill. Executive Producer, Mr. Bruce Ankler. Chief of Staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com. We will see you tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of
Legion of News on PDX.FM.